Let's move on now, talk a little bit about follicular lymphoma. And we're going to talk about some new things that have developed in the field, including the use of the so-called R-squared regimen as upfront treatment, but also a new class of agents, PI3 kinase inhibitors. You might have remembered last week, we were talking about alpelisib in breast cancer, but different kind of PI3 kinase, totally different pathway, but similar and maybe a little bit similar toxicities. And just to get started though, we put out this question and we put these questions out to kind of get you thinking a little bit, so to test your own knowledge. So Mike, we put out this question, patient with advanced stage follicular lymphoma who are not experiencing symptoms, may receive treatment with, and I'd say you could say either observation or maybe rituximab alone, but Mike, can you comment a little bit on the natural history? And we should mention all the faculty has done lectures that we're going to make you aware about. Mike went through a lot of these details in his lecture, but maybe you can just talk a little bit, Mike, about how you approach a newly diagnosed patient with follicular lymphoma, and particularly one that doesn't have any symptoms.
Right. So follicular lymphoma often will have a slow pace of disease. There's a real spectrum of patients with folliculars from very indolent, very low tumor burden to more actively progressing high burden disease. But a patient who does not have any symptoms at all, you can legitimately recommend observation. So you can watch and wait, see them periodically, educate them about symptoms for which they should notify you. And it's going to mean you'll probably re-image them somewhere at 4 months, 6 months to get a sense of the pace of disease. But the discussion we have with patients, if they're asymptomatic, is whether they are comfortable with the observation and sort of monitoring, or do they feel like, gee, I just can't live with knowing I've got this and we're not doing anything about it. And so a reasonable option there, based on a study called the RESORT trial that is summarized in the slides that Neil mentioned, uses just 4 single doses of rituximab alone. And the response rates, at least in patients with low burden of disease, is about 70%, and about 30-35% are complete remissions, some of which are quite durable, even going out beyond 5 years with just 4 doses. So we have that discussion, and then we proceed basically with whatever the patient is comfortable with.
So Kim, you know, we're going to get into this discussion on Thursday as well when we talk about CLL, where patients usually present being asymptomatic and they're observed. Just kind of curious, Kim, how people, and Mike was talking about there's a spectrum of responses, how you respond to patients who say, hey, I've got this cancer, you know, I don't really like the idea of it not being treated. I guess what's the spectrum of what you see, Kim, and how do you respond to it?
Well, I mean, obviously it's in context to what the patient has been diagnosed with. I mean, the case study that I presented, I mean, she's a good example of somebody who had low-grade follicular and she percolated for 9 years. And I try to kind of focus the type of cancer. I try to have people look at it like a chronic disease because it is slow growing. And there's always seems to be, I mean, I've been doing this a really long time, so there's always a new treatment out there for them. And I try to have people focus on that it is like a chronic disease and we'll treat the symptoms as they come up. If not, we'll just continue to monitor like we have been doing, and I redirect them that way. And a lot of people, I think after a while, get used to having the disease and it's easier for them to manage on a day-to-day basis.
So Craig, that trial, the RESORT trial that actually Mike was the principal investigator of, one of the things about it was, you know, how well people did just with 4 doses of rituximab. Mm-hmm. The fact, Craig, that they got chemotherapy later, it delayed the time that they get chemotherapy, but it still is giving a treatment as opposed to observation. And of course, nowadays, trying to keep people out of the hospital to start with. Any comments on this situation, Craig, and what'll drive you to, say, use rituximab as opposed to observe somebody?
So once again, this is one of these patient-physician long Talmudic conversations that you're going to have. And and I think that, to me, I try to monitor everybody if I can. I will always say that monitoring a patient is more difficult than treating a patient. Mm-hmm. Knowing when to treat is the art in follicular lymphoma. I will say, though, that if you monitor a patient, and if you look at the data from most centers, you can usually do it anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 years. Usually, you're going to give chemotherapy when the patient needs to be treated. All of a sudden, when you press that button, it's not going to be 4 weekly doses of rituximab. It's usually going to be something else. So you have to prepare the patients for that. I would say that many times we might sequence the patient. Not all follicular lymphoma is the same. However, once again, there's a lot of new drugs in follicular lymphoma. Chemotherapy is kind of moving down the road. R-CHOP, which used to be the most common regimen given in follicular lymphoma, you know, almost none of us give R-CHOP unless we think that there's an underlying transform lymphoma these days. And we don't do that anymore, so we don't want to burn that bridge. So therapy has changed. I wrote an editorial in Blood in 2006 that the median, I'm old, so the median survival of follicular lymphoma had increased from 7 to 12 years in the previous decade. Probably, I think the median survival is probably close to 20 years now.
Wow.
With follicular lymphoma.
Amazing.
So, as you said, Kim, it really is a chronic disease. What I explain to the patient is I'd rather have follicular lymphoma than diabetes, quite frankly.
Correctly.
You just have to have that story. We all have that line down on how we want to talk about monitoring follicular lymphoma. So wow. It is an art.
Interesting. I like that diabetic one. So, Molly, here's an interesting question we've been asking for the last couple of years, and I've been kind of surprised about this, which is sub-Q rituximab. I kind of figured like it was just everybody was going to do it, but I'm not so sure that's the case. What is your experience, Molly, with sub-Q rituximab?
It seemed as though it was in vogue for a while and then kind of went back by the wayside, and we really don't use much of it at all. We do rapid infusion rituximab, and so they're only here, it shortens the time to an hour for the infusion, so it's just not something we've been using. And oh,
love it.
Yeah.
I give so much sub-Q rituximab for patients with mantle cell lymphoma or follicular lymphoma. Mm-hmm. I just give day one IV and then doses 2, 3, and 4 sub-Q, and the patients love it.
Hmm.
I have what jumped on the bandwagon.
What about the local reaction, Craig? Because that's the thing I've heard about. Is that much of an issue? Not really?
Not really. I haven't seen much of it. Well, the patients don't complain. Well, I don't ask. It's got to be one of the three things. So.